winner yet. So
Bob Boyer.
Bob Boyer, okay.
Very good.
So I've got Bob Boyer, Jeff Gross, and Rafael Palacios. Anybody else? Okay.
John Hamrick will not be, and Jim Goodlett will not be.
And
any other commissioners on the line who have not identified themselves yet?
He knows. Sometimes he doesn't act too
close.
Yeah, right.
2 minutes after.
Let me see. I have his phone number. I can call him. Sometimes he said, why are you calling me? I won't give you that.
He is or is not? Not going to?
He is. It's, probably he is.
This is the show. This is the update.
Oh.
Yeah. In his car, right?
Sorry about the reception, but... From the what? What's that?
Call it the hill in Tallahassee, but I used to call it the hill in Washington, but the hub in Tallahassee.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, morning, Counselor. There's files over, printouts over here.
Those are liquid files.
Yeah.
Hard files.
Analog version.
Is that except the one we're using?
What?
Hey, Jeff, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Wait, which one are you using? This one?
In the email, there was a link to the comment, but when you as they do, you have a new link for it?
The link to a comment, that link, you should be able to get to it. So it's not working, you're saying?
It says it's been moved. If page comes up, it says it's been moved.
Okay, go ahead and do this. Are you on the system?
I will click on that link.
No, don't click on the link. Go ahead, go into the system, to our website using www.floridabuilding.org.
I'm going to turn my phone calls now.
So is it BlackBerry?
Both. On Friday.
Yeah, actually, I think I found it on your DCA website.
Well, you found it? It's okay.
Okay, any other commissioners who have not yet identified themselves on the line yet?
Carson. Greiner.
Wait a second. Carson, Greiner, who else?
Scott Mulan.
Okay, welcome everybody.
I did too.
So we've got Boyer, Carson, Greiner, Gross, Milan, Palacios. Any other commissioners on the phone? So if there's any commissioners on the line who have not yet identified themselves, please do so.
Yeah.
Just leave my office and leave my friends. Cheap state pen.
Pens on cheap generally.
My wife. She's got a pen fetish. And colored pencil.
What kills me is I love. There's one kind of pens though. And they start.
Any commissioners on the line who have not identified themselves yet?
Randy.
I'm sorry?
Randy.
Bill Marcunas.
Randy Van.
Okay, got you both. Anybody else?
They said that link doesn't work.
Terry Hebrink.
Yeah, I'm looking for commissioners right now, that thing. So I've got Boyer, Carson, Greiner, Gross, Mullen, Marcunas, Palacios, and Van. Any other commissioners?
Jim Shockton.
Hey, welcome, Jim. Okay. Okay, any commissioners have just joined on?
Yeah, Yeah, this is Raul. Jeff, how are you?
All right, welcome, Raul.
Morning.
Who else joined on?
Dave Olmstead.
Okay, I'm looking for commissioners.
This one.
Sorry. Any other commissioners on who have not identified themselves?
Matt Carlson.
Welcome, Matt. Okay, so far we've got Rodriguez, Boyer, Carlton, Carson, Griner, Gross, Mullen, Norcunas, Palacios, Schock, and Van. Anybody else? Welcome, Chris. Any commissioners have not identified themselves yet? Jim, do you want to do the roll first, or do you want to do your update first?
There's not
very
much.
We'll see.
Do we have a form?
No, so far. Okay, any commissioners who have not identified themselves, please do so. We've got Rodriguez, Boyer, Carlton, Carson, Griner, Gross, Mullen, Norcunas, Palacios, Schock, Schulte, and Van. Anybody else? Drew, okay, great. That does give us a quorum now. 13 members present. Rodriguez, Boyer, Carlton, Carson, Griner, Gross, Mullen, Norcunas, Palacio, Schock, Schulte, Smith, and Van. Anybody else? Okay, well, since we do have a quorum, I'm going to turn it over first to Jim Richmond. Is going to give a, well, today's agenda is to review, is for Jim to give an update on legislative issues, and then for the commission to conduct two rule adoption hearings on Rule 9B72090, product approval by the commission or self-affirmation, and Rule 9B72.180, equivalency of standards. I'd ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
Hello.
Well, hold on 1 second. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I believe actually, rather than hold the hearings, I think what we're here to do is act on the hearings that were held.
Yes.
It's my recollection.
Yes.
The hearings have already been held, and what we're doing is acting on the information and comments received.
All right, so let's revise that to get a legislative update and then take action on Rule 9B72090, self-affirmation, and Rule 9B72180, equivalency of standards. If we could ask the motion to be revised to that, would be helpful.
So moved.
Second. All right. There's a motion, a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. I'm going to turn it over to DCA legal staff, Mr. Jim Richmond.
Good morning, commissioners. Legislatively, there's not a tremendous amount actually moving at this point. The legislature is quite understandably kind of focused on economic issues and budget issues, both surrounding dollars. Several concepts are out there spinning around. I guess one broad topic that's being introduced under the headline economic stimulus are permit extensions, and basically extending building permits in addition to other development approvals, including zoning and things along those lines. One bill, Senate Bill 2026 by Senator Altman, has coupled that with a restriction on, and I'll quote, additional or more stringent permitting standards, regulations, or criteria related to construction, and then specifically includes Chapter 553, and basically we could not adopt any amendments to the code, and actually local governments could not adopt any more stringent local ordinances from May 1st, 2009 through May 1st, 2011. The building code issues there are really just almost an add-on. The more, I guess, problematic approvals would be like the environmental approvals and planning and zoning approvals. But we continue to watch that and work on that. I believe that'll probably get spread into some of the bills related to permit extensions. Another, I guess, issue that is spinning around, and I believe I've made mention of it before, is the department itself and its process through what's called the sunset review procedure down at the legislature, where every number of years all executive agencies have to re-justify their existence. There are a few bills out there related to that. The most recent generally merges Department of Community Affairs with Department of State, and that was a proposed committee bill heard last week. For those of you who have been around since 2003, that may sound familiar because that was an initiative by Governor Bush back in 2003. That is primarily being worked on by the governor's office. To date, they certainly don't support it. I don't believe there has been a great deal of support generally for that concept, and it is restricted at this point to the House. Senator Bennett early on filed a bill which generally announced the intent to abolish the Department of Community Affairs, but that's gone nowhere, and I believe Senator Bennett and the department are currently at peace. Another bill that Senator Bennett has filed, however, does directly affect the commission, and I think in a good way. It gives us something clearly to work with, and we've talked about it, I know, briefly with Kerry Hebrink, as well as some of the others. The bill at this point provides the commission with the authority to adopt equivalent standards using the expedited glitch process, that's come to be called. It also adds the IAPMO ES as an approved valuation entity. As you'll recall, in response to last year's bill, we've reviewed how to address IAPMO ES, and I believe the recommendation of the commission is to add them as an evaluation entity in the statute, so that's consistent. And lastly, provides that products certified by approved certification entities are deemed approved without further action by the commission. And that's something that we briefly discussed with Kerry. I think it expresses a desire to streamline the product approval process with regard to certified products. I do think the deemed approved is something that all are going to be interested in working on, because there's a theory in law called unlawful delegation, and essentially it's difficult to delegate kind of absolute governmental authority to people who aren't governmental entities, specifically certification entities. So I think where we're going on that is to try and resolve something that addresses the need for a streamlined process and still covers that difficulty, while as well making sure that there's some means to ensure that the documentation is appropriate. The last, I guess, concept that I know I've seen, I have not seen it in a bill, but was forwarded to us, is related to an initiative that started last year, and we discussed it to an extent, and then it basically fell by the wayside. But the, I guess, the effect or the extent to which building code applies to mausoleums that are essentially manufactured out of state and brought in state. The concept I've seen is basically a restricted exception from the building code affecting mausoleums of a certain size and constructed primarily, I believe, of granite. Last year, that I think really wasn't a problematic issue with the commission. If you'd like me to look at that further, I certainly will. But given its restrictive nature and limited impact, I haven't anticipated that to be a problem.
Anybody have any questions for Jim on his legal report?
What was the number of the one that Bennett's working on?
The bill that he's working on directly related to the code is Senate Bill 2100. 2100.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the legal?
Yes, this is Ken Gregory. Jim, if someone has a product that was approved under the 2004 code and there's not been any changes, then you're saying that that product would be deemed to be approved to be under the 2007?
No, what this does is generally takes products that have been certified by a certification body that's approved by the commission and would automatically deem those products to be certified for use in Florida, taking the commission essentially out of the loop on products certified other than the approval of certification entities. It doesn't affect really the updated codes issue.
All right, thank you.
Are there any other commissioners who have not identified themselves who have come on? I realize now Ken Gregory is on. Any other commissioners?
Yes, Tim Tolliver.
Welcome, Tim. Anybody else?
Benio Gonzalez.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, so briefly, we've got Rodriguez, Boyer, Carlton, Carson, Gonzalez, Gregory, Greiner, Gross, Mullen, Norcunas, Palacios, Schock, Schulte, Smith, Tolbert, and Van. Is that correct? So we've got 16 members. Okay, great. Okay, let's go on to the next issue. The purpose is to make is for the commission to take action. We can start with Rule 9B72.180, which is equivalency of standards. At the Rule Development Workshop, as you recall, the recommendation from the POC was to proceed with following the rule as it was proposed, with the removing the additional E from the reference standard. So that was the only thing there. Does anybody from the public wish to comment at this point only on the equivalency of standard, Rule 9B72.180? And Mo wants to say something too. Go ahead.
On the web, assuming you have uploaded or you had an opportunity to download the comments received on this rule, it's a small matrix which has in it the proposed rule and also the comment received, and it's mainly is altogether is 3 pages. We have received written comments on it, and we have received also verbal comments, and those, as Jeff said, was received mainly at the hearing February 17. However, I would like to bring to your attention also there was comments from the POC, which is Product Approval Oversight Committee, which has in it the recommendation from the committee which is mainly advice that the commission proceed with filing the rule as proposed and remove the additional E from the reference standard as an editorial change. And that's the position of the POC taken at the February 2nd meeting after hearing comments from the interested group on the subject.
Jim wants to say something. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'd just like to, I guess, kind of scope out where we're at, because this one has left the normal tracks that we go on these. If you recall, the hearing was held outside of the commission. We are restricted to considering those items that we have received as comment that are basically limited to the document that Mo's prepared. At this point, if you want to entertain any changes really beyond the what the POC recommended, which is removal of the E as an editorial change, we would be required to publish a notice of change and wait an additional 21 days to file the rules. So that's essentially where we're at and what we're considering this morning.
Okay, so again, we're on just the equivalency of standards, as Mo just described, and Jim as well. The recommendation from the POC, which came at the hearing, was to proceed with following the rule with the changing of the E. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on that? Okay, commissioners, does anybody have any comments or want to take an action or a motion to that effect?
Person, move POC recommendation.
Second, Greiner.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion from the commission? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, next is Rule 9B72.090, self-affirmation. I'm going to let Mo explain, review the matrix with you and the basic position as before. Then I'll ask if anybody from the public wants to comment, and then we'll go to the commission. And Mo and or Jim can speak on this. Go ahead, Mo.
Yeah, this is really was taken up with the same time that the previous rule was taken up, which is 180. We had a hearing February 17. We received verbal comments, and also by February 13, we received a number of written comments. The POC met February 2nd and entertained comments from the interest group and reviewed the comments received, written comments received at that time, and it came up with a proposal or comments to the hearing, which you see also in the matrix, which is mainly have revised the proposed language to mainly state that the rule need to be revised to state the following: as part of the application for self-affirmation evaluation reports refer to the previous edition of the code, the manufacturer of the approved product shall submit statements from an approved evaluation or original evaluation entity that the product complies with the subsequent code version by an attachment uploaded and submitted through the BCIS. The difference between the proposed language and the POC recommendation is they have removed the reference to the original evaluation entity, and mainly at this point the attachments or the information in the attachments is acceptable to be provided from an evaluation, an approved evaluation entity or a validation entity. I hope you had an opportunity to review all the written comments, but that's where really at this point we stand.
Okay, and I think Jim's comment is, if you want to make it again, Jim, I think is probably much more relevant to this issue as far as its application. I'll let Jim go ahead and give you the explanation one more time on if you make any changes. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, essentially what we're doing is, once again, reviewing the comments. We're restricted at this point to review comments that have been submitted. We can't, I guess, review new comments or additional comments at this point. If you desire to, I guess, adopt any of those comments and make changes to the rule, we have to publish a notice of change in the Florida Administrative Weekly and basically go through that process. In the past, we have as well allowed additional hearings in conjunction with the changes, and it does impose additional delay in the rule taking effect, but that's really subject to your consideration.
So basically, as Jim described and Mo read earlier, if you support the current POC recommendation, you could make a motion to that effect. After we hear from the public, if you feel there should be additional changes are warranted, then you could make a move to have a notice of proposed change, and if you want, conduct an additional hearing. But before we do that, what I'd like to do is get a list of those people from the public who'd like to speak. Just your name. I'll get an order. Everybody who wants to speak will have their opportunity. We'll go through the list, then we'll go back to the commission and determine whether what action the commission wants to take based on their review of the issue as well as the public comment. So who from the public would like to speak on this issue? And don't start speaking yet. I just want to get your names listed first. I'll go back and call on you one by one. Hey, who wants to speak?
Joe Belcher.
Joe Belcher, okay.
Harry Hebrink.
Okay. Who else?
Chuck Anderson.
Chuck Anderson, okay. Anybody else?
Dick Wilhelm.
Dick Wilhelm.
Barry Johnson.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Barry Johnson.
Barry Johnson, okay.
Yep.
Who else? Okay, we'll start with that list. We'll start first, and we'll just go in the order that they offered it, and we'll start first with Joe Belcher. Joe.
Morning, Commission. I just have actually a question, not a comment.
Okay.
Reading the language, my question is, so I can advise my clients properly, if the evaluation report does not actually refer to an edition of the code, then we don't have to get involved with this reaffirmation. Is that correct?
There is no issue then. If it doesn't refer to a code edition, And if standards have not changed, then you should be able to self-affirm with no need to upload a file. So, yeah, you're correct. You're not, no problem.
Thank you.
All right. Carrie Hebring. Carrie.
I appreciate the changes with removing the word original and with adding validation entity, but I was unclear if the word original was before the word validation entity or if that just says validation entity. That's the first piece. But secondly, I'd also like to see the ability of a technical director, and, you know, we could specify they'd have to be the a PE or whatever, but if they would also be able to self-affirm, because these folks know their product, and the commission still has the hammer of revoking a product approval. Again, this is the situation where, you know, nothing's really changed substantively with the product or the code change, and you're just self-affirming that your product, your approved product that already has an approval, is consistent still with the newer edition of the code.
Okay, so you'd like to see that a tech director, perhaps with a PE, would also be able to self-affirm. Okay, thank you. Next is Chuck Anderson. You're next.
Jeff. Yeah, guys, I think I'm going to start first with kind of an example of how the problem exists for the manufacturers. There are probably a lot of applications of a lot of different kinds of products under the 2004 system. They're in there. And maybe in the installation instruction, for example, on a drawing, there might be a note that says, this product complies with FBC 2004. Now, that note was not required by the code, nor was it required by Rule 9B72. So what I want to make sure of is that fact that somebody has that note on that drawing. There were some Florida PEs that were telling manufacturers that that was a requirement, and it was a mistake. You guys have twice confirmed in your meetings that is not a requirement, never was. And we have said that because somebody has that note in there, that will not deny them the opportunity to self-affirm to 2000. I think that this language, when I read the language that's proposed, I see how it kind of supports that, but I can see how it can be misconstrued, and someone can interpret it as saying that if somebody has a drawing in there that says four, now they've got to go through some sort of special step in order to make it say that it complies with 2007. How it is, the installation drawings or any other report probably should never cite intrusion code compliance. Another thing that happens is a lot of people have used their Dade County NOA paperwork for submittal to the system. And in Dade County likes that note in there for their process to get the Dade NOA approval. They like that note that says it complies with a certain version of the code. But like I said, I hope we can maintain our consistency here. You said that wasn't your intent on a couple of occasions before to deny self-affirmation just because somebody has a note in there that wasn't required anyway. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have here at the DCA office in Tallahassee, Mr. Dick Wilhelm. Dick?
Morning, Commissioners. Dick Wilhelm representing the Fenestration Manufacturers Association and the Window and Door Manufacturers Association. 90% of my folks all use the certification method and feel very strongly with the changes that have been recommended of removing the term original and putting in validation entity and leaving here with the hope that the term evaluation entity does not mean an independent third party. We're much very favorable to this language and sure that we can live with this and appreciate all your effort. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, we hear from Barry Johnson.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Barry Johnson. I'm with the ICCES. And we've been looking at the proposal mainly from the viewpoint of products that would be listed more as alternate materials and methods. They really fall under Method 2 under the review. And by reviewing products, that's not specifically addressed in the code, like call for method 2 and are considered alternate methods, we have to consider varying data and issues. And what happens is the depth of understanding why the particular product evaluated and developed by each evaluation services. Additionally, the knowledge of the alternate products is continually developed, and there's new technology, new issues that come up on each product, and it's not necessarily reflected in the code changes. And I just wanted to make sure we're also looking at it from that viewpoint now on that. And admittedly, and that's why we kind of favor more that the original person developed the original evaluation report and the original validation entity is the one in charge of approving.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else in the public wish to speak on the Rule 9B72090 proposal?
Jeff, if I can just clarify, this isn't like an initial approval for the ICC gentleman's comment. This, again, is you already have an approval, and this is just self-affirming that it meets the newer edition of the code. It's not a new approval.
Okay.
Could I respond to that, please?
Go ahead.
This is Barry Johnson again. I'm sorry I misunderstood on that, but even when it's after it's approved, when the code's updated, that we still have to go back. There's a lot of issues other than what was changed in the code that we have to look at before we can go through and affirm that product would also meet the updated code.
Okay. Okay, Dick Wilhelm wants to speak again.
This is Dick Wilhelm again, representing FMA and WDMA. With all due respect to Mr. Johnson, we totally 100% oppose that position. Thank you.
Okay. Just for the record, there was a written comment from Steve Strawn that Jim suggested that we read into the record. It's only a sentence long. It just says, this is from Steve Strawn. From Geldwin, we do appreciate the opportunity to discuss this and would ask that the issue of self-affirmation be deferred until a face-to-face meeting could be held during the POC meeting in April. This is an important issue to the fenestration industry as well as others, and we feel this should have a full opportunity for more public input, and thank you for your consideration of this important opportunity. Other members of the public who haven't spoken who would like to speak on this before we go back to the commission? Yes, Carrie.
Representing Geldwin as well, they also support the addition of the words technical director along with validation entity and evaluation entity as someone who can self-affirm. And I believe you probably have written comments to that effect somewhere in the comments from the public hearing.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, just really maybe giving you some additional information with regard to method of compliance and what's really the rule mainly has in it. You know, the ICC, I think their concern is with regard to method 2 of compliance, which where really most of the ICC evaluation report does not really do evaluation for a specific standard. They mainly do it for alternate material method, and that's really the issue with ICC is that they are maybe they have the more information about the evaluation than anybody else. So that's really their concern. With regard to certification method, as you know, certification methods is really. They do certify based on a standard, so they're specific certification to a specific standard. So the only problem would be the installation instruction, whether it has reference to the Florida Building Code edition or not. So if it doesn't have any reference to Florida Building Code edition, it's no problem. They can self-affirm with no concern. So we're talking about certification method here from Miami-Dade is a certification entity. AMA is a certification entity, Keystone certification entity. Test lab normally is a lot of time is not a problem because they do mainly, again, test to a standard, and they limit their test report to that standard. I don't think they really elaborate and try to really meet list in addition of the Florida Building Code. And even if the list in addition is still, it's a test report based on a specific test standard. So if there is no change to the test standard, they should be able to self-affirm and no need to upload any additional information for that. That's really, I just like to really give you some clarifications, and if you have any questions, we'll be glad to also elaborate on and see if we can help you understand what's going on. Thank you.
Okay, so we've heard from the public, and we're going to the commission now for some discussion. So basically, as was laid out previously, there is a proposed language on the table. You heard some comments in that regard. If you're willing, if you like what's proposed, and you would move with that. If you think there should be some changes, then that would be a different method, which would be, as Jim described, a notice of proposed change, and with perhaps a hearing if that's appropriate. So, commissioners, who wants to start off discussion?
Jim Schott.
Go ahead, Jim.
I guess to address sort of Carrie's concern is I agree that the word original needs to be left off of the validation entity. And by doing that, since the PE can be a validation entity, if the technical director happens to be a PE, he could do the validation. I am kind of opposed, though, to just the term technical director being in there without any kind of criteria attached to it.
Okay. Other commissioners who'd like to speak on this issue?
Jeff Carson here.
Go ahead, Ed.
This is something we discussed and have discussed numerous times in the past, and it's always been the POC's recommendation that, as Mr. Schock said, there's no clear definition as to what a technical director is, so that's why we've always shied away from that in the past.
Okay. Any other commissioners have any comments or questions they'd like to ask or offer? Is anybody sharpening their pencil?
I've addressed the background there.
Yeah. Well, then based on what we've heard, I think Commissioner Schock proposed, has at least offered one thought. He said that he's not comfortable with the technical director, but he is comfortable or believes that the word original in front of validation entity should be changed. If that's what folks wanted to do, then that, I guess, you would vote for that and then do a notice of proposed change or... So that's kind
I have
of where
a question. This is Brody.
Oh, welcome, Dick. Go ahead.
What if that original validation entity no longer exists?
Jeff, if I can respond to that?
Yes.
That was my thought, Commissioner Brody, is that this would allow then a successor engineer to be a validation entity. And in 61G15, the rule lays out the responsibility of that successor engineer. That's why I kind of like to eliminate the word original.
Well, should we insert, if not, is the original preferable? And if it is preferable, should it say original or successor?
I think Mo wants to respond.
At this point, original is not preferred.
Yeah, at this point we're into the commissioner discussion, but go ahead, Mo.
I think really if you read the language, it says an approved evaluation or original validation. An approved evaluation, you're talking about all engineers, a PE can do an evaluation, so it's not limited, per se, to original. So it's any engineer...
So I think what Mo's suggesting is that the word original here is not really problematic because the word before there says from an approved evaluation or original validation entity that you're covered by that. Is that correct, Mo?
Well, you covered with regard to an approved evaluation. An approved evaluation entity can be any engineer. That's really because all engineers are approved to be an evaluation entity. Then it says, or original validation entity. So I think removing the original from the validation entity, I think really is more of an optional. Original is an option, not really. So even if you remove it, I think it will be okay. It's not going to, do anything if you remove it or if you keep it.
Okay. Other thoughts, commissioners? Further discussion?
Jeff, if I may?
Absolutely.
Jim Shaw?
Sure.
Mo, you have a good point. And since an engineer could be the approved evaluator making that certification, it is kind of a moot point possibly. And if it would delay the implementation, I would be satisfied with it as is.
I think really just to clarify, if we go with the POC recommendation, we still have to issue a notice of change.
Right.
Because this is a change to the proposed rule. So regardless of what we do with this language, if we revise it, it's still, the notice of change has to be issued.
I guess the question becomes whether there's a need for a hearing or not is up to the commission to decide. So, again, you can go with what's here, you can make some changes, and in any event, your motion would be either to go with what's here and notice proposed change with or without a hearing. Again, that's a discussion point, not a recommendation. So, commissioners, what's your thought? Make sure everybody's clear on where we are and what the options you have in front of you are so that you can discuss this and make a determination. Who wants to offer a comment? Commissioners?
Jim?
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to remove the word original from validation entity and move the wording in that regard. I think that would help a buy-in from the industry.
Okay. Jim wants to say something.
Well, to clarify, POC recommendation minus original is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, which is to go with the POC recommendation with the removal of the word original before validation entity. Jim Richmond.
Would that be with a subsequent hearing that at this point would be at the June meeting? Or without subsequent hearing, in which case we just notice the change and then file the rule?
So the discussion point is, Jim Shock, with your motion, you can either just decide that to notice the change and file the rule, or if you want to have another hearing, you would notice the change with an additional rule adoption hearing at the April meeting. It'd be at June, apparently. Sorry, it couldn't be done at the April meeting. It would have to be, a teleconference or something in June. So, Jim, what's your thinking on that?
June Commissioner.
Can I ask Jim a question?
Yes.
Yeah, Jim, would that... avoid a challenge to the rule? I mean, is there likely to be a challenge, do you think?
editorial comments from others in the room, excuse me. Whether there's a challenge or not, I don't know whether holding an additional hearing will actually head off a challenge or not. This has been batted around pretty good at this point. I don't know what Mo and Rick's take on it is. We have actually done, the commission's done it both ways in the past, where we've held additional hearings and not held additional hearings. So I really think you should make the decision based on whether you think the rule's ready to go or not, and leave the challenges for me to worry about.
Okay, in that case, then I would move to proceed with the rulemaking with the word original out of it.
So no proposed change without hearing.
Right.
Okay. Is your second good with that, Dick?
Yes, it is. I had the same question that Jim had of Jim Richmond, and apparently it really doesn't make a difference.
Okay, so the motion on the table is to go with the POC recommendation, removing the word original in front of validation entity, and to notice the proposed change and proceed to rule adoption without an additional hearing. Further discussion from commissioners.
Just one thing. Before we vote, I'd just like to hear Ed weigh in on this one more time. Ed Carson.
Well, as was just stated, I think, Dick, that we've discussed this pretty well, and I'm comfortable with the way it's going without another hearing.
Thank you.
All right. Unless there's further discussion, all in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? So it's you passed unanimously 17-0. Is there any other business? Mo? I guess, Commissioner, Chairman, if you're there, maybe a motion to adjourn would be in order.
All right. Our motion has a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 Everybody, thanks very much for your time. We'll see you in Gainesville.
See you in Gainesville.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's get the reporter off, unless you want it to be on there.